Round the bend they come to the final flight. Honeysuckle's every chance of a fairy tale farewell here. Trying to draw alongside Love Envoy. They've quickened again now. Down towards the last. Honeysuckle out jumped by Love Envoy. He's got a slender lead. Love Envoy hanging slightly. Here comes Honeysuckle to raise the roof. Her final run. She's going to go out a winner again. Honeysuckle has done it to beat Love Envoy. What a way to go out. Fairy tale stuff from a magnificent race mare.
Yeah, look, we all wish a very special kid could be here today, but he's watching down us. Oh God, it's a happiness. She was unbelievable. She's just, the way Henry has produced her every day is phenomenal. Like I just, as a jockey, I'm so grateful. Yeah, she's just a phenomenal mare. She's been incredible for my career, for everyone down in Knockeen who have looked after her over the years. Henry's head lad, Davy Roche, does an unbelievable job with all the horses, and yeah, she's just a credit to everyone. Kenny's one of the coolest owners you'll ever ride for, and yeah, it's a brilliant day.
I'm sure it's the fairy tale ending, isn't it? You know, well, I presume it's the ending. There's always punches down, and Maloney will never let us get away with that. So it's the fairy tale ending. It's what you dream of happening, and you know, more often than not, it doesn't. But today it has, so it's incredible. Yeah, absolutely, it means a lot to all of us.
And how would you sum up what Honeysuckle has done?
Oh, she's, you know what I, you know, she's just an incredible mare. She's awesome. And yeah, look, we've had so much fun with her. Yeah, very lucky to have had her.
Yeah, that was Henry de Bromhead speaking after Honeysuckle won the Mayor's Hurdle a little bit earlier on. Ruby Walsh joins us now. Ruby, it's one of those days that I'd say you're going to remember forever.
It is, Marie. It's one of those days like that you could always say, yeah, I was there, I watched that, I saw that. That's what it means to me. Now, I know it's horse racing, and it won't have that sort of emotion for everybody, but it most certainly did for me to be here this afternoon to watch from start to finish. But to put the cherry on the cake, to watch Honeysuckle win with Rachel Blackmore, with everything that has gone on in the lives of the Bromheads this year, it was just, sport doesn't often deliver a fairy tale result, but by God, in Cheltenham we got every fairy tale this afternoon.
Yeah, it was amazing. And Ruby, like, I know you said there that not everybody can was there or maybe understand, but even sitting at home on the television and watching it, every bit of that emotion came through the screen, and that does not always happen. But just the way it finished, Rachel's interview afterwards, the scenes and the parade ring, all that sort of stuff, like, it just, it felt magic. It must have just felt unreal over there.
It did, but I think, Marie, why everybody could relate to it is, I'm a parent, you're a parent, and there are loads of parents listening to this show, and no one of us wants to be where Heather and Henry de Bromhead are. So to stand here this afternoon and then watch Honeysuckle do that, and to see some bit of joy come into their lives only for a few moments, like you couldn't have bought it. It was just and everybody felt it for them. Everybody was so happy for them, and for me and Georgia, it's so hard to even put words on it. It was just the absolute fairy tale.
Yeah, and look, I often quote you on this. You always say that sport can be a great distraction for reality, and it actually really just felt like that, because to be able to have that unbridled joy at something and to be able to forget everything else that's going on in the world and around you and just be able to live in the moment is sometimes exactly what everybody needs. And you could see that in Henry and in Rachel as well, and just in everybody connected to them.
You could. And look, I know Henry a long time. I rode for him. Actually, my wife Gillian would know him a lot better. She would have been family friends with the Bromheads from the time she was a child. And like, I would know the Bromheads more socially than I would have even through riding. And to watch Henry today in the Winners' Enclosure, like, as Robert Power says, he thinks he's Jurgen Klopp. The reaction, the interaction he had with the crowd. Yeah, he could feel that. He could feel the warmth from the crowd, and he embraced it, and it was beautiful.
It was really powerful, actually. Now, like, and I was only just watching it on the television, but like, the what he was getting off the crowd, you could really sense it. What about Rachel though, Ruby? Like, she, you never see her like that.
No, and look, maybe I'm speaking out of school here, but yesterday we were here in Cheltenham and Rachel was doing some work for Jockey Club, and she was involved a whole lot of kids in the local area, whatever, and I had not tagged on, I at the very end was involved in a photograph. So when the photographs were over, she rang my phone. I was thinking she was just in front of me 5 minutes ago, and next thing she rings, she says, where are you? I said, I'm still here. So yeah, she called me over. So she said she wanted to talk about the Mayor's Hurdle, and she was... how was she? I had never saw her as, I wouldn't say nervous, as anxious, as anxious is the word. And she was so anxious, and she went to the talk through the race, and she just, it wasn't that she was looking for advice, she just wanted to talk, and talk racing, and talk every aspect of how this race would play out for her. And I just stood and was listening and offered a bit of advice here and a bit of advice there. But to see the pressure she was under, and the pressure she had herself under yesterday, and then to see her deliver the ride she gave it. And because of the emotion and what happened, the actual technical skill of what she did will get overlooked. But she gave Honeysuckle a brilliant ride. She allowed Johnny Burke to lead. She sat and from second place, she controlled the whole race. They went really slow, and she kept all the opposition behind her. When they went to challenge her at the top of the hill, she just did enough to stay in front of them without committing herself. She did so many things right, and like you always talk about big sports people and great triumphs, but you have to deliver on the big day. And this afternoon Rachel Blackmore delivered perfectly when it mattered most.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, all right, because obviously I wouldn't have a clue what's going on, but whereas you would, but to be able to execute what she was able to execute under that pressure, Ruby, for you who's done it so many times, it must be just remarkable.
It'll make you admire her even more. And like it, so much of horse racing is like every other sport, it's all about tactics, and people get hung up in the physical power and the physical ability of everybody that's involved in it. But if you can read a soccer match and you can be ahead of where the ball is going, whether you're technically as good as another player, it doesn't matter, because you're already ahead of them. I watch great sports people at the moment, Marie, and I admire them. You watch Keane Lynch, who always seems to have more time on the ball than anybody else. Davy Clifford the same. Messi had it. They just never seem to be in the wrong place. I often read it about Paul McGrath, whose athletic ability diminished, but his brain always kept him way ahead of the game. So much of sport is about how you think about it and how you execute it from a tactical point of view. You watch DuPont at the weekend. I mean, imagine having his foresight of what he did with the rugby ball. But you watch Rachel this afternoon, and it was her execution of the tactics that I admired so much, and it was magical to watch.
Especially because you knew the pressure she was under. Afterwards, Henry de Barmhead was joking about whether or not that was the end for Honeysuckle, but you'd imagine it is, Ruby.
I could see where Henry was coming from, to tell you the truth. Kenny Alexander, Honeysuckle's owner, he's not a breeder, he's a racehorse owner, and you know, she's come down in division, found her form. I could see Henry's argument. For one, as a fan of the sport, I hope Henry gets his way. I hope he brings her on to Punchestown. That's what we want to see. I mean, we see it so much on the flat, where stallions have such a value, or three-year-old colts have such a value as stallions, and they go off to stud, and we never get to see their full potential. Why not see Honeysuckle once more? I hope Henry gets his way.
Okay, right, we'll be watching that space. Look, it was actually a brilliant day, Ruby, I have to say. I can only imagine what it was like over there, but just sitting and...
Did you enjoy it, Marie, did you?
I really did, yeah. Yeah, I had the kids and all watching just so they could see you. But anyway,
That wasn't that entertaining.
Constitution Hill, you had told me about how great Constitution Hill was, and I was saying to the boys, I was like, that horse is like Messi or Usain Bolt and all the rest. And then when I saw him race, I actually got it. But for someone like you who knows racing inside and out, Ruby, it must have just been fantastic to watch a horse of that calibre and know that it's only just getting going.
I know, but it's what every sport needs. I mean, football is lucky to have, or it had Dublin for a couple of years. It has Kerry and Davy Clifford now. Hurling has Limerick. Every sport needs superstars. Mm-hmm. And in racing, you need superstar racehorses, and Constitution Hill looks to be that. He is brilliant. Now, I, probably not being a pessimist, but being a realist, understand that he has to stay sound and do that again in 2024 and again in 2025. And that's how you build a rapport, how people come to fall in love with a horse and admire what they're doing. It's about longevity. I just hope Constitution Hill has the good fortune of staying sound. Even though he's trained in the UK and it's not wonderful for Ireland, I suppose, but for the sport as a whole, because National Hunt Racing Marie, between Ireland and England, it shouldn't really... The divide is the Irish Sea, but they're the one product. Mm-hmm. They're the same horses running against each other. And, you know, I hope Constitution Hill can stay sound enough to become a great, an all-time great, like Istabrak, like Cawdor Star. He's brilliant, but he has to have longevity to become great.
Yeah, and, you know, in fairness to Nico de Boinville as well, you know, he was quite relaxed about the whole thing as well. You know, he wasn't building up the hype. How good of a job did he do?
He kept it so simple, and that's what Nico de Boinville does. And look, Nico wouldn't be popular with every punter or every racing fan, but for me, looking at it from a, I suppose, a pundit's point of view, or looking at it tactically, Nico de Boinville wins on every horse that should win. I'm not saying he wins on the ones that shouldn't, but you put Nico de Boinville on the best horse and he doesn't make a mistake. He keeps it so simple. Pressure doesn't seem to get to him. It doesn't seem to faze him. He just delivers. And like to go down to the start in a champion hurdle, a horse like Constitution Hill, so short in the betting, knowing that the 68 or 70,000 people that are here in Cheltenham are here to watch you. And he just, it doesn't seem to bother him.
Yeah, no, I think he was called the Iceman after it or something like that, in those words anyway, and he did, nothing seemed to faze him or bother him. Let's go back to the start of the day, Ruby, the Supreme, and I know that you had great hopes for Facile Vega, but it was Marine National who did the job there, and another great story, Mikey O'Sullivan, the... pretty much a novice jockey almost, you know, just getting going, and what a great ride he gave Marine National.
He did. Give him a brilliant ride, followed Facile Vega every step of the way, rode him with unbelievable confidence. Now, Barry Connolly's trainer had unwavering confidence in him, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make a horse win. But Mikey, who ended up riding a double, he won the Fred Boodle's Fred Winter on Jazzy Matty. He was unbelievably cool on this horse. He's only a young jockey. He's from Cork. He turned professional during the summer. He's a claimer. Actually, he was at a £3 disadvantage in that race because in a Grade 1, he can't use his allowance. But he was so cool and calculated, and he was brilliant on Jazzy Matty for Gordon Elliott in the second last race, Marie. And actually, just, I know, look, I might as well spill the beans. This is recorded, folks. just because we were coming on air, John McConnell looked like training his first Cheltenham winner, Marie, when Mahler Misham, who was clear, fell at the second last fence. And left the race at the mercy of Patrick Mullins and Gaillard de Menil for Willie Mullins to give him a second winner on the day. But not everything was up this afternoon. Mm. It was a disappointing day for John McConnell, but I'm sure he'll get another chance.
Yeah, I hope so anyway. And you mentioned Willie Mullins there, the Arkle, El Fabiolo, Paul Townend. Great to get that win anyway, that early win for Willie.
It was, and good for Paul as well. He gave him a very confident ride. He waited for the split off the home turn. Dysart Dynamo rolled a bit wide off the bend, and Paul just grabbed the opportunity with two hands, shot through, and then Fabiolo, and he was a good winner. His jumping is only okay, but he has found a way of getting from A to B and staying upright. And, you know, I suppose, like anybody, kicking an early penalty or getting an early free, it was a nerve settler for Paul Townend, and it should set him up for a great three more days to come.
So we do have three more days to come, Ruby. Tomorrow, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Impere Pass in the first, Jerry Colomb in the second, Captain Comby in the third. I think Edgerstone could win the fourth. The fifth will be Delta Work. The sixth is the plate. No massive opinion on that. In fact, the file in the bumper, Marie. That's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It'll be another great day, but I have a funny feeling there's no way it's going to top this afternoon.
Yeah, it was really special. Did you have a chat with Rachel? Did she say, I told you so, after she was on last week and you thought that Honeysuckle wasn't going to win?
She did.
I'm glad. If nothing else happens now for the rest of the week, and I'm happy. Do you want to
just text me? You know what, Marie? I was never as happy to be wrong.
I'd say. And, to be fair, you did say that. So, look, Ruby, thanks a million. I know you're so busy. Thanks for giving us the time. And we'll be chatting to you again tomorrow. Enjoy the evening and enjoy tomorrow.
No, you know, you won't. I'll be talking to Shane tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I might be sending the odd WhatsApp voice note. That's about it.
Cheers. Good luck.
Bye.